This is a podcast of the MA Online Journalism students. I'm Jan Matisch. This is modern journalism. Citizens can be publishers. I'm going to talk to you about the role of hyperlocal media in Birmingham. A seismic shift is going through Britain's media landscape. Web 2.0 and the explosion in mobile technology means people are accessing news and information in a myriad of new ways. This technological revolution has seen more and more people starting to create their own content. There has been an increase in the number of hyperlocal blogs, local websites that focus on a particular city, town, or village. As of 2014, 51 hyperlocal news sites have been operating in the West Midlands area. In Birmingham, Dave Hart is a hyperlocal blogger for BornVillage.com. He is also a lecturer of social media at BCU.
I think the role of these emerging hyperlocal media platforms is to a degree to fill a gap. The gap really is around mainstream traditional local press coverage. So if you think about here in Birmingham, we've generally just had one major daily newspaper, the Birmingham Mail, which is still going, obviously. But it doesn't really do the fine-grained kind of reporting that it used to. So it used to have correspondents in local areas. It used to cover lots more local news than it does. And so as they've kind of retreated maybe from local areas, you've seen the chance for other people to come in and say that actually we'd quite like to hear more about the place we live and to write more about it and to keep us updated and informed what local councillors are doing and why the streetlights aren't working and those kind of nitty-gritty daily frustrations one has about where one lives. So what's happened is you've got the emergence of these hyperlocal media operations.
These nitty-gritty daily frustrations are just some of the topics. Social media, one of the essential mediums for this, is still very new. Nick Booth is one of the members of Podnosh, a business that helps organizations learn social media.
The truth is that in terms of the audience's trust and where the audience looks to for its information and looks to talk about information, the balance of power has shifted over the last 4 or 5 years. And it sits in the hands of some individuals who are motivated predominantly by just providing some sort of social good.
To an extent, the content is not much different from what the mainstream media produces.
So in a newspaper, you will get crime stories. In hyperlocal media, you will get crime stories. In a newspaper, you will get stories about what the council are or aren't doing. The same will happen in hyperlocal news sites. But sometimes, if it's a very minor crime, let's say, maybe that wouldn't get covered by the local newspaper because it's a bit too on the periphery of what they would be interested in. Maybe it's not scandalous enough, maybe it's not extraordinary enough, and that would get covered by hyperlocal media. But also, and particularly if you look at operations like B31 Voices, you'll get strange things like, we found a set of keys that have been lost. Does anybody know who owns these? A dog has been lost. A cat has been found. And you get these strange kind of almost banal incidences of everyday life, and they get covered in hyperlocal media much, much more. And the people who run these sites see no issue with that.
Look at Birmingham Updates, which provides actually, in terms of content, quite a traditional news stream, but in terms of approach and attitude, isn't really necessarily trying to write the sort of headlines that grab attention, that sell adverts, is just trying to provide a useful information service to the public. Luke, who runs that, has a much bigger audience, I think, and an audience that trusts him more than newspapers with lots of members of staff.
Hyperlocal publishers use a diversity of models to earn a living. Some want to get money from the content they produce, others just blog for civic engagement.
There are many, many different models for survival, all the way from models that depend on earning money to pay people, okay, or to pay the associated costs with running a hyperlocal website, the hosting costs, etc. And that's usually through some form of advertising. So it could be kind of through AdSense, those kind of platforms. Or actually it might be somebody going out and selling the space on the website to get some money in. Lots of examples like that. Lots of examples of where people are still using newspapers to fund the web operations. So Tyburn Mail is one of those, but Brixton Bugle in South London, that's a similar operation. It's newspaper really pays for the website operation. But there seems to be a kind of a wide range of sustainable models, but perhaps the most interesting one is the people who just carry on doing it because they want to do it, because they think it's important. And the only thing that will stop them doing it is when they stop living in the place they're doing it about.
The appearance of hyperlocal media has changed the way mainstream media covers local affairs.
Hyperlocal websites and the mainstream media are sort of going to diverge in a strange way. The mainstream media increasingly has been picking up the habits of sites like BuzzFeed, doing listicles, getting local people to write articles about why Cottridge is the best place to live in the country. And essentially, increasingly, they are writing link bait to serve their advertisers on their website. And they are learned, you know, they've been a bit slow, but they're catching up on that. And so I actually think that we will see mainstream media clamouring more and more for mass eyeballs through link bait, which could be pictures of semi-naked women, or it could be lists of things, or it could be having columnists who are infuriatingly controversial, whilst the hyper-local people who live in communities and care about communities will get better and better at providing the civic information and the local information that we all need to get through life. So I think that the mainstream media will become more sensational, and the hyperlocal media will give the word parochial a sort of a fresh turn and make us all proud of being parochial.
Just in the West Midlands, I think there's a genuine role for hyperlocal media to offer up a counterpoint to local mainstream media. So what we've got in the West Midlands is, you know, it's dominated by one publisher, by the Post and Mail. So I don't think that's great. You know, you should have a diversity of publications. The BBC don't operate at the local level. They operate at regional level. They're not allowed to operate at local Birmingham level. So, you know, they don't cover enough issues, really. Local TV seems weak, I would say, on news, even though that was one of its functions. But I don't think it's made much of an impact there. So I think there's a curious kind of gap that people see and then see themselves as an opportunity of filling. So I think you'll still get these pockets of interesting hyperlocal media operators because they don't see their area being covered very well. And also, I think, because they're savvy enough to notice that there's potential bits of advertising to pick up in print as well as online, actually. And you might actually see possibly more print publications than less, I would argue. But I think there's going to always be a role for a small media operators in a city as big as Birmingham.
2015 is expected to be a year of increasing popularity of hyperlocal media. Money is still a problem, so publishers will need to look for alternative sources of income. But for many, that is not an issue, because they do it as a social contribution. This podcast was produced by Jon Matisch, Eri Oseki, and Antje Hedda. Thanks for listening.